Okay, Tom, and welcome back to our ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. We are now at the end of the seventh parak of Masachet Yevamot, and Daf Samach Tet Amud Aleph at the very bottom of the page, and Mishnayot He and Vav are published together in the Gemara. So we'll study them together, and then the attendant Gemara till the end of the parak. Again, we are discussing those relationships that generate problems for Achila Truma. Ha'ones v'ha'mefateh v'ha'shoteh lo poslin v'lo ma'achilin. And the simple read of that is that if someone is ones or mefateh, which means in either way premarital relations without the relation itself constituting erusin, that's ones mefateh, rape and seduction, and shoteh, if a shoteh gives kiddushin to somebody, lo poslin v'lo ma'achilin, meaning that if the girl is a bat kohen and she is nansa, or given kiddushin by a shoteh, she's nansa by a non-kohen, that does not invalidate her from eating truma. On the other hand, if she's a bat yisrael and a kohen is ones her, that does not give her the rights to eat truma. V'imen anurin levo b'yisrael or elu poslin. But of course, if the bia happens via somebody who is on the list that we saw in the previous podcast of those who invalidate, like an Ammoni, Moavi, etc., according to the three different shitot, Tanakam, Rabbi Yosef, Rishon Gamliel, then indeed the bia will invalidate her from eating truma at any point. Ketzat. Now, how does this play out? Yisrael shabal bat kohen. Yisrael's ones bat kohen. Tocha al bat kohen tocha bat truma. She still eats truma. His bia does not invalidate her. Ibra, let's say she became pregnant from that union, lo tochal b'truma. She can't eat truma because she's carrying the seed of Yisrael. Nechtacha u'mameyeha, meaning if she aborted, if she miscarried, if in some way the child does not exist anymore, then tochal, then she eats truma. Right? The existence of the ubar does not invalidate her forever, only as long as that ubar is there, or if it's Yisrael who is impregnated her, then as long as the child is alive. Hayah kohen shebal bat Yisrael lo tochal b'truma. Now let's flip it. It's a kohen who is ones bat Yisrael. She doesn't eat truma. Yibra lo tochal. Even if she becomes pregnant, she's still lo tochal because, as we saw at the beginning of our parak, an ubar is posel v'ino ma'achil. Yalda tochal. But once she gives birth, then she can eat. So nimta kocho shoben gadol mishalav. This fits the aphorism that says that the son is stronger than the father. In other words, the father had bia with her, didn't give her the right to eat truma, but she gave birth to a son. The son allows her to eat truma. Now, second clause, ha'eved posel mishum bia v'eino posel mishum zera. We'll have to see what this means. But in eved's, bia itself will invalidate her, but midin zera, meaning as a child, the eved is not an interference, because, as we've already seen, the basic principle, an Eved does not have patrimony. Ketzad, how does this work? Bat Yisrael l'kohen. Bat kohen l'Yisrael. So in either way, you have a relationship which is going to either generate or invalidate from Truma. V'yalda himenu ben. She has a son. V'alacha ben v'nichbash al ha'shifcha. And this son, who is either a Yisrael or a kohen, goes and has relations with a shifcha. V'yalda himenu ben. And this Shifcha now is a son. Hareza Eved. The son is, of course, an Eved. The man had bia with a Shifcha. The child is an Eved. And the child is not related now. Okay, so let's see. Haita im aviv bat Yisrael l'kohen. So let's say this original woman was a bat Yisrael l'kohen. And now this is the only child that's alive from that union. Lo tochal b'truma. She cannot eat truma. Because even though she had a child, a son, who was a Kohen, who allowed her to eat. This son then went and had a son with a Shifcha. That Shifcha son is not related at all to her son. And now, if the intervening generations die, that grandson, who is an Eved, is not Machil her, because it doesn't constitute a connection between her and her husband, the Kohen. Now, Bat Kohen l'Yisrael, tochal b'truma. If you flip it and you say it's a Bat Kohen who married Yisrael, which means that when she married him, she couldn't eat truma. She had a son with him, and then the husband died, so she still couldn't eat truma because she had a Yisrael son. That Yisrael son went and had relations with a Shifcha, and then he died. But there was a son from that. That son does not constitute any sort of a connection, because Eved ein lo yichas, And therefore, she can now return to eat truma as if all of her descendants are dead. Now, mamzer posel u'ma'achil. A mamzer is like anybody else. He's posel u'ma'achil. Okay, it's a bat Yisrael, a koin, a bat koin Yisrael, v'yaldai menu bat. So let's say a woman marries and has a daughter. V'cha bat v'nisei l'eved. Now this Mishnah is following the opinion that an Eved, an Akum, Shabal Bat Yisrael, a Vlad Mamzer, we do not rule that way, we rule the Vlad Kosher. But of course the same could be constituted in another way. But let's say that this daughter, who's a legitimate daughter, went and married an Eved, or had beer with an Eved. V'yaldahim en ben ha'reza Mamzer. According to this opinion, the child would be a Mamzer. Now, Haita im imo Bat Yisrael Kohen. Let's say that the intervening generations are dead, and now all there is this grandson who is a Mamzer. If the original relationship was a Bat Yisrael Kohen, Tochal B'Truma. She continues to eat because she still has recognizable seed from this Kohen, even though the child is a Mamzer. Bat Kohen L'Yisrael, lo Tochal B'Truma. And flip it. If she was a Bat Kohen who married Yisrael, could therefore not return to Truma unless all of the seed of that relationship was gone, then this Mamzer still exists. She can't eat Truma. Okay, good. Now, Kohen Gadol, Pa'amim Shu Pasul, sometimes a Kohen Gadol himself can be posel. How will this happen? This is just sort of one of these trivia kind of pieces. Bat Kohen Yisrael. So a Bat Kohen married Yisrael, which means she cannot eat Truma anymore. V'yaldahim enu Bat. They had a daughter. V'yachah Bat v'niset l'Kohen. The daughter went and married a Kohen. Now, what does that mean? That means that the original mother who the grandmother who ate, the original woman, who is now going to be a grandmother in a moment, who originally ate truma from her father's house, then married Yisrael, she couldn't eat truma anymore. Her daughter went, who could not eat truma, went and married a kohen, now she can eat truma. And then she has a son. She married a kohen, the child could be a kohen gadol. Theoretically, it could be a kohen gadol who's doing a vote on the Beit HaMikdash. There's nothing, no reason not. Now, ma'achil et imo, his existence is going to allow his mother to eat even if her husband dies, because now she has a son from her husband, the Kohen. Posel emimo, and in the same regards, his existence also confirms the grandmother's relationship to her husband, the Yisrael, and therefore he invalidates her. Let's say he were to die, it would flip. His mother could no longer eat truma, because she was she's no connection to her Kohen, she's a Yisrael. And her grandmother would then be able to eat truma, because she doesn't have, and if she has no children left, and she has no seed from the Yisrael, she goes back to being a Kohen. Zot omeret, so what does the grandmother say? Lo kivni Kohen Gadol shu posleinu mina truma. She said, I don't want a son like my son, the Kohen Gadol, who invalidates my eating for truma. Really means grandson here. But of course, this is just a sort of an aphorism. Now, that's the Mishnayot. Now, Tanina Lahadatana Rabbanan, just following up on the very first clause in the Mishnah about a shoteh. Shoteh v'katan shenosu nashim umeitu. Let's say that a shoteh gives kedushin to a woman, marries her, and then dies. Right? The answer is, nashoten p'turot min achalitzum neyibum. Their wives are pater from achalitzum, yibum. They were never married, because a shoteh's kedushin are nothing, just like a cotton's kedushin are nothing. Therefore, a shoteh is eno posel v'eno ma'achil, just as we had in the beginning of the Mishnah, because his presence is not meaningful. Now, ketzarai Yisrael shebal bat kohen tocha b'truma, ibra lo tocha. Right, so the Mishnah then said, as the example of the onus and mafat case, that the onus itself, it's a bat kohen at bia with Yisrael. Yisrael raped her, let's say. She continues to eat truma, but if she's pregnant, then she doesn't. Now, kevan de ibra lo tochal, since we say that if she's pregnant, she can't eat. Lechu shema ibra, so why aren't we choshesh that when she had the first bia, that she became pregnant? And say we should at least wait 3 months before we allow her to eat truma, because she may be pregnant. Milotnan, don't we have the Mishnah that we saw earlier? Mafrishin otan gimel chodashim shema ubaroten, that very bizarre case, you may recall, where two women get swapped under the chuppah inadvertently, and their marriages are mistakenly consummated with the wrong husband. We make them wait 3 months to make sure that they're not pregnant. All right, so why don't we wait 3 months here? So first answer is, Amar Ravuna, liyuchsin chashu l'truma lo chashu. They're only choshesh as far as yuchsin to make sure that we know who the child belongs to. For truma, we're not choshesh for such a thing. And the woman will know if she's pregnant, and if she's not, then she can go eat truma. But since when are we not choshesh for the possibility of pregnancy when it comes to truma. Vatanya, Reza, Gitech Shachat, Kodal Mitati, if a guy gives his wife a bad coin, gives his wife a get, which she's not a bad coin, gives his wife a get and says, this get is valid 1 hour before I die. Asura lachov truma miyat, she can never eat truma, because it may always be the hour before he dies, which means we are choshesh for the possibility that she's not an ochel truma, we don't allow her to. Same thing here, we should say, this woman who got raped may be pregnant, which would invalidate her from truma because the guy was a Yisrael, and she should not be able to eat. As a matter of fact, no matter who the guy is, the fact that she's pregnant, unless it's a bat coin lekoin, in which case we would have to decide which approach to take, Rabbi Rav Yosef, but otherwise the Ubar would not help. This is how it works. The original case that we used as to challenge our ruling is the case of the two women who got swapped under the chuppah. That is a case of nisuin, because as far as they were concerned, this was the legitimate husband, which means they did not take any physical action after the bia to try to make sure they would not get pregnant. However, we have a general rule that a woman who is zona, mitafechet bizonah. If a woman has nut, she does certain physical machinations afterwards to make sure that she does not become pregnant. Alright? So that's why, in this case, when the woman was mitpatar or nehensa, we know that immediately she's going to take whatever steps she can to make sure she's not pregnant, therefore we're not choshesh, and therefore we do not bar her from eating truma unless we know she's pregnant. No, b'nisuin mi choshesu. Wait a second, since when are we choshesh b'nisuin that a woman is pregnant? Batanya bat koin shenisa li Yisrael, who mate. Bat koin marries Yisrael and he dies that day. Tovelot v'yochot b'truma la'erav. She can eat truma that night. She can eat truma right away. And even though that was nisuin, and so therefore we should assume that when they had bia, she would not do anything to prevent pregnancy, and therefore she might be pregnant. Rav Chisda tovelot v'ochelot ad arba'im. Rav Chisda said, what does it mean she can eat? She can eat for the next 40 days. Because even if she got pregnant that day, for the first 40 days, fetus is, like we say, maya ba'alma, and doesn't really count. Lo mi'abra, ha lo mi'abra. If she's not pregnant, she's not pregnant. V'im mi'abra, even if she got pregnant, ad arba'im maya ba'alma. The first 40 days, it's just like water. It's nothing. It doesn't count. So if that's the case, look at the seifa of that ruling. That if we then see she's pregnant, then retroactively she is mikulkelet, which means she now has to pay for eating truma illegally. But she has to pay karen v'chomish to the kohanim, etc. Because it was improper. So how can you tell me that for the first 40 days it's okay? So Rav Chisda has an easy answer. My mikulkelet arba'im. Mikukalat means Mikukalat all the way back to day 40, which means she ate for the first 40 days, that was fine. She ate for another 10 days, 20 days, and then suddenly recognized that she's pregnant. You go back and say, the last 20 days, anything after day 40 that you ate, that we of course know that the pregnancy is from day 1, because the husband died on day 1. And therefore, the 40 days after that, we don't reckon, but anything after that, we say the fetus is already viable enough to invalidate her from even truma, since the husband was a Yisrael. Now, itmar haba, so that solves that issue. We say indeed that we are choshesh b'nisuin le ibur to the possibility of her being pregnant, not in a case of znut. Which is why in the case of the two girls who got mixed up at the chuppah, we are choshesh because they thought they were properly married. We're not choshesh in our Mishnah, and therefore, because the case is one of premarital or non-marital sex, that's probably the best way to say it, onus mifata, and therefore we assume that she's going to take whatever means possible to not become pregnant, so unless we know she's pregnant, we assume her not to be. The girl who marries the bat kohen, who marries the Yisrael, and he dies on that day, we do allow her to eat truma for the next 40 days, because even if she is pregnant, that doesn't count. If it turns out that she continues eating truma, then only end things after day 40 count against her as far as the cheshbon. Okay, good. So now, next case. Itmar. Habala usatu b'beit chamiv. We have two versions of this machlok between Rav and Shmuel, and it's only Rav's opinion we're going to really analyze. We know that there was a custom in Da, mentioned in the Tanaitic literature, that a fiancé would be left alone with his affianced sometime around the Sudate Rusin, and there was the possibility that they would have bia. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a case where somebody, an arus, a fiancé, has relations with his affianced in her father's house. Meanwhile, before nisuin, Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer. Rav says that now that we see she's pregnant, we say the child is a mamzer. What's the reasoning behind it? We'll see. Shmuel Amar Vlad Shtuki. Shmuel says the child is a shtuki, meaning we don't know what to do with him. It's a category that's dealt with at the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin. But a shtuki literally means he's silent. He can't identify who he is. He's what we call a safek mamzer. Now, Amar Rav, Mistavra Milti de Rav, the Daima Me'alma. Rava says that we should rule like Rav if she is clearly very promiscuous with everybody. In other words, she's clearly doesn't have inhibitions with other people also. Avalo Daima Me'alma, but let's say that she's not like that. Batra Didesha Dinanle, then we assume that she's only been intimate with her affianced, and then therefore that's who the child is and the child belongs to, and there's no stigma Mamzerut. Now, I'm a Rav, I'm an Aminala. I'm going to prove it to you that that's the case where we should rule like Rav. Tani Yalda Tochal. Because after all, in our Mishnah, what does it say? That if the Kohen is Ones Bat Yisrael and she becomes pregnant, once she gives birth, she gets a Truma, which means that we are assuming it is his child. Now, in that case, there's less of a reason to assume it's that his child. Are we talking about a case where this girl was promiscuous with everybody? So Yalda Maitochal, so if she gave birth, then why should she be Oli Truma? We don't know who the father is. Alav Mine Daima Velo Daimialma. Must be somebody that she was flirtatious or hanging around with this particular guy, and then they had relations. We see she's not like that with other men, and therefore we associate the child with being his. Now, Umahatam de la hayisura, and figure it. In the case of Onas Mefate, so she may be certain, somewhat flirtatious or intimate with this guy and not with others. Remember, all the relationships are usher. She's not betrothed to anyone. Batra Didei Shani Delay. Nonetheless, we associate the child with being with her, of her boyfriend, we'll call it, or the guy that she's friendly with. Hacha de la hayisura la hayatera. But in our case, where she's betrothed to one guy, which means she's usher to everybody else and only mutter to him, just midrabanan, perhaps we have to wait until nisuin until they can be a local shekain. So certainly we should say that if she is not overly flirtatious with other people and only with this guy, and she's already betrothed to him, certainly we associate the child with him, and there's no way Rav would say that the kid is a mamzer, because after all, in our case, we're saying that the child definitively belongs to the ones. Then certainly here, where she's already betrothed to the guy, it should be associated with him, unless we see that she's behaving lasciviously with everyone. Now, Amar Le Abaye. Abaye challenges Rav, and he says, "Li'ol Amim Alachak Olecha D'Daimim Minei Afagav Zlo Daimim Miyalma." Amar Rav Vlad Mamzer. Abaye says, "You know what? Maybe Rav says that the child's a mamzer, even if she's only friendly with the guy and not with anybody else." My time. Why? The Amrina Midi Afkura Nafshel Gaviros. What's our reasoning? Since she has loosened her inhibitions relative to her betrothed, afkar nafshal alma. That means that she's got no inhibitions in general, and she's willing to have relations with others. Now, umatnitin, so how are you going to explain our Mishnah? Why do we associate the child of being the Kohens? Shayushtayim chavvishim beitasurin. Let's say the two of them were locked up together in prison, and there is no possible way that she could have had relations with anybody else. Therefore, we know it's the Kohens. Now, that's version one of the machloket. And in this, we have Rav versus Shmuel. We don't attend to Shmuel's opinion. We seem to accept Rav's opinion. The only question is, how far do we take Rav's opinion? According to Rava, we take Rav's opinion only in a case where the girl has demonstrated that she's promiscuous towards everyone around her, betrothed and others. But if she's only friendly and has loosened her inhibitions relative to her fiance, but not to others, so Rav would say it's certainly the child, Kal v'chomer from our Mishnah. That's version one. Ika Damri, some people read the Machloket differently. And by the way, they read the Machloket differently between Rav and Abaye, not between Rav and Shmuel. Rav certainly said the kid is a mamzer, Shmuel said the kid is a shtuki, but the Machloket between Rav and Abaye is, where do we apply Rav's opinion? So far, in the first version, Rav said we applied Rav's opinion only if she's promiscuous towards everyone. And Abaye says, no, even if she's only promiscuous with her affianced, we still have to assume that that's now become part of her bad character. In this version, we say, if we know that he had relations with her, then certainly the child is his. We have no reason not to. V'hachidmar, here's the case. Arusa she'ibra, an arusa that became pregnant. And we don't know that the arusa had relations with her. That's different than the first version. Rava mar vlad, mamzer shvul amar vlad shtuki, same machloket. And then amar Rava, Rava turned around and said, stav milte de rav de lo daimim mine, v'daimim mi'alma. Said, this is even further. Rava says that Rav's ruling should only apply when she is not intimate with the Arus, but she is overly friendly with other men. But if she's friendly with her intimate and comfortable, shall we say, with her betrothed, if she's that way with other men, we have to assume it's the Arusas. This is far more lenient than the first version. And then Rava again, in this other version, proves from our Mishnah, that if the Bat Yisrael, who was raped by a Kohen, has a child, then she eats truma. What's the case? If you think it's a case where she's intimate with this guy and not intimate with anybody else, do you have to come and tell me halacha that she can eat truma? It should be obvious that she can eat truma because it's certainly the child of the Kohen, and she had a child with a Kohen. It must be a case where she's overly loose with everyone. And nonetheless, we say that since we know the Kohen had relations with her, therefore we assume it's the Kohen's child. And again, the same Kal v'chomer. In the case of the rape, she's also to everyone. Nonetheless, we associate the child with the one we know she had bia with. Here in the case of the betrothed, where she's ultimately going to become mutter to this guy and is usher to everybody else, certainly we should associate it with the mutter guy. Right? As long as not the case where she's particularly shy around him and loose around others. I'm going to Abaye, so Abaye again in this other version retorts and says, Abaye says, Leolam, meaning really, Eimalacha, I'll tell you as follows, Kol Hecha de Daima Mi'alma, any case where she's friendly with other men, Avagav de Daima Mine, even though she's friendly with him, Amar Rav Vlad Mamzer, Manita Milo Daima Klalin, the Rav would still say that the child is a Mamzer. In the second version, everybody's more Mekel, even Abaye, but Abaye says that perhaps Rav would extend his ruling and say the kid is a Mamzer, even if she is friendly with everyone. Even with her betrothed, and our Mishnah, Rav will explain, is a case of Lo Daima Klal, where she's a perfectly innocent girl who doesn't flirt with anybody, and the guy was mafater. In that case, so then we say there's no reason to assume her having relations with anybody else, she's not that type of person, and she's more chaste, and therefore we associate it with the one person we know how to deal with. Okay, good. Now, the end of the Mishnah said, Ha'evet posel mishum bia. We saw that the Evet is posel mishum bia, but not mishum zera. And we have the whole case in the Mishnah, where if a woman, the only descendant she has is an Evet, that Evet doesn't count, and then her original relationship with her husband is now disconnected. So if she was a Yisrael coin, she doesn't eat, and a Bat Kohen Yisrael, she does go back to eat. My time, well, what's the reason? Amar Kra, ha'isha v'dadati al Adonai. This is the case of the Evet Ivri. When he comes into a relationship and the master gives him a shifcha, he marries the shifcha and she has kids, he leaves alone and the kids stay with her, meaning an eved in lochayis. Right? So Jew has relations with the shifcha, the kids belong to the shifcha and not to the Jew, and therefore there's not called zera. Okay. Now, mamzer posel ma'achil. Let's see. This, Tan Rabbanan, v'zera ein lies. You see on the pasuk on the page that if a bat kohen marries a non-kohen, yizar, in the last podcast, we dealt a lot with what Izar meant, and Bia Psula and Bia Poselet, etc. But if she's with an Izar, marries a non-Kohen, and then it dies or is divorced, Vizera Ainla, she has no seed, then she goes back to Yitruma like she did when she was young. Ainli Ella Zara. All I know is if she has seed. Zera Zara Minai, and how do I know if she has grandchildren? Meaning her seed has seed. She has a child, the child had a child, and then her child died, so all she has is a grandchild, grandchildren. How do I know that they will also invalidate her from going back to her Kohanic rites? Talmud Lomar, Vizera Einla. That's why it doesn't say child, but Vizera, seeds, offspring. Mikol Makom. Now, Einli Ella Zera Kosher, Zera Pasul Minayin. All I know is if she has proper Zera. What if she has Zera, which is invalid, like a Mamzer? How do I know that also keeps her connected to the Yisrael husband? Tamalomar v'zera ein la, meaning ayin Allah. it's a somewhat of a Galilean drasha where the alfs and ayins are easily interchanged. The idea is ayinalai, investigate, see what she's got. If she's got any children around at all, then those children or grandchildren or any sort of offspring, no matter how invalid they may be or improper they may be, nonetheless constitute a zera. Iva pikte la zera zara. You already used ayinla, zera inla for grandchildren. The answer is zera zara lo tzarech krak b'nei vonim or yikim vonim. We know the principal rule that grandchildren are considered like children as far as zera goes, so you really didn't need a pasuk to tell me that if she has grandchildren, that they still count as far as zera. Why was it brought? It was brought probably to set up the piece about zera pasul. Tzarech krak la zera pasul. That's why we need the pasuk. So he says this seems to only fit for Rabbi Akiva, who says Yesh Mamzer Michai V'Lavin, because that means, in other words, the case in our Mishnah, because our Mishnah stated as an example of a Mamzer, where the daughter ended up, the man had relations with, sorry, the daughter had relations with an Eved, and therefore the child is a Mamzer. So we assume that this follows Rabbi, we assume that this follows Rabbi Akiva's opinion. It says, since she violated a law, the child is a Mamzer. Right? The answer is no. Afilu Temer Rabbanu, Rabbi Akiva Yochanan, famously, his Shita is famous, answers back and says, even the Rabbanu would agree with this one, Be'oved, Afilu Temer Rabbanu, Be'oved Kochavim Ve'Eved Modu. They agree that if a woman has relations with an Eved or an Oved Kochavim, the child is a Mamzer. This is a sugi that we discussed in the fourth parak. They quoted Rabbeinu, which is Rabbi Yochanan. Oved Kochavim Eved Rabban, but Yisrael Vlad Mamzer. Good, and as I mentioned in the Mishnah, that is the opinion that is behind our Mishnah, although we do not rule it. Now, Kohen Gadol Pamim Shaposo. We have this quirky case where a Kohen Gadol, a bat kohen married a Yisrael, they had a daughter, that daughter's a Yisraelite, marries a kohen, her son becomes a kohen gadol. That kohen gadol's existence keeps his mother eating truma and prevents his grandmother from eating truma. If he didn't exist, the grandmother could eat truma, and as a father or other of the descendants didn't exist, because she'd go back to being a bat kohen. And on the other hand, his mother eats truma bischuto. Tan rabbanon, hareini kaparat ben biti kuza. All right, so Hareini Kaparat is something that is said. When somebody passed away, Hareini Kaparat ben biti kuza. Ben biti means the son of my daughter. That's this case. Kuza, a small receptacle. Shema acheleni b'truma. Ve'eini kaparat ben biti kada sheposlani mina truma. All right, so now, I have a kuza, which is a small kli. Take a look at Rashi. In other words, I have zera pasul, who allows me to eat truma, and that is if I have a mamzer. On the other hand, I have a big kli, a kohen gadol kid, who prevents me from eating truma. In other words, it is possible to have a child who is pasul, and the result of that is that he continues having you eat truma because he cements the relationship that you had with the husband who's a kohen. On the other hand, you could have a fantastically wonderful child or grandchild who is a kohen gadol, who nonetheless cements the relationship that you had with your non-kohen husband and keeps that alive and prevents you from eating truma. Again, this is a cute little saying and somewhat of an exercise in trivia of how we could create a scenario where somebody great like a kohen gadol could end up preventing one generation and sustaining the other generation in eating truma. Adran Allah Chalmana, we are now ready to begin eighth parak Ke'arel, which we will begin in the next podcast of Yitzhak Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful day.